Yeah. It's that money, boy. Hey.
What is up, everybody? My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. It is Friday, March 20th. If you're in California, it's day one of shelter in place. Looks like we're going to be locking down for a little bit. This obviously is the fifth and final team preview of the AL East. We've been doing each team every single day all week. We will continue doing this pretty much until the season starts. Hopefully I have to do one day where I drop 10 because they make an announcement baseball's coming back, but we'll see about that. So today we'll talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. Next week we'll dive into the National League East. So that'll be something to watch out for next week. Monday the 22nd. Feel free to go back. Make that the 23rd. Feel free to go back our website, the ecosystemsbusinessconcierge.com. All kinds of stuff in there, not just podcasts. We got blogs in there that are educational. There's some political stuff in there for you if you'd like it. Lots of videos, lots of podcasts, lots of stuff to keep you distracted. I know that's something I need right now. I'm sure most of you need that right now while you're sitting there pretty much locked inside your house trying to hope that this whatever this is passes. As somebody who used to think this would be, you know, incredible, it would be so awesome to be told you have to stay at home and not go and see anybody, you know, me being that introvert, I'm 6 days into it and I'm already going crazy. So these podcasts have been a nice little distraction for myself. Hopefully they've been a good distraction for you. So let's dive into the Toronto Blue Jays, who are definitely in a rebuild process. Similarly to a team we talked about earlier this week, the Baltimore Orioles. But there is a difference. Toronto Blue Jays, their pieces are already here. We know what the pieces for Toronto's rebuild are going to consist of. We don't have that same certainties for Baltimore. And another thing is very interesting. I don't think I've ever seen a team like this that not only is young, they are the youngest team in the majors with their average age being 26 years old. So experience is a factor, right? But their three top young players all have fathers who played 10 plus years in the major leagues, two of which were Hall of Famers, and Dante Bichette in his own right was not a bad player himself. So of course I'm talking about third baseman Vladimir Guerrero Jr., who's obviously Vladimir Guerrero's son, Kevon Biggio, Craig Biggio's son, and Bo Bichette. That's third baseman Vlad Jr., second base Kevon Biggio, and shortstop Bo Bichette. So you got 3/4 of your infield not only are top prospects, but all can pick up the phone and give Pops a call, and Pop's going to give him some real good insight into what it is, what it's like being a big leaguer. And especially also for Vlad Jr., he's kind of in an interesting spot where his dad was pretty much the ambassador to baseball in for Canada for so long. You know, he had so many great years with the Montreal Expos. I have to imagine if you think about the Montreal Expos, Vladimir Guerrero is probably one of the first players you think of. So obviously with Toronto now being the only Canadian team, you hear a lot of talk in Toronto about this isn't Toronto's team. This is Canada's team. That's a lot of pressure, especially on a young player like Vlad Jr., who is the number one prospect. We've been hearing about him for the last 2 or 3 years. And just the name, whether we heard about him or not, the fact that he's Vladimir Guerrero's son, that carries a good amount of pressure as is. Same thing with Kevon Biggio. Obviously wasn't the same type of... Craig Biggio was a good player, but wasn't the personality and the flair that Vladimir Guerrero had. But Kevon Biggio might be right now the best player out of all three of these players. But they need to improve their ability to get on base. And it's not just these three players, it's the team as a whole. But these three is the nucleus of this the new age Toronto Blue Jays, which will struggle this year, don't get me wrong, but like I said, they have the pieces in place. They were fourth worst in the major leagues last year with a 3.305 on base percentage, which is kind of the sexy stat these days. That's really low. You need to have a team on base percentage, hopefully in the 330s. This 305 is not where it needs to be. A way to help that is to obviously be more selective. The ability to get on base doesn't necessarily mean you reach base with a single or a double or this or that. Go up there, you get plunked. Go up there, take four wide ones. However it is, you have a good eye. Greg Garcia for the Padres, it was a perfect example for this. The reason he's still in the major leagues is because he's on base percentage is up in the 360s. He's a good, patient hitter. Toronto doesn't have that type of player right now on this team. Kevon Biggio, though, could be that player. Obviously, last year he helped out with he had the lowest chase rate of anyone in the majors with over 400 at bats. Obviously, the chase rate is you're chasing balls out of the zone, which not only is a negative towards helping the pitcher out and striking you out here and there, but if you do make contact, it's very there's a very small chance that you're gonna make meaningful contact. A lot of it's going to be dribblers or pop-ups to the catchers or the infield here or there. I as a player that topped out in high school, I'm not going to pretend that I was any better than I was, but that was always the one thing that I was okay at was understanding where the strike zone was. And the pitcher, you, as a batter, you have a hard enough time as it is facing pitchers, especially in the major leagues right now. Don't help them out. And that's the biggest thing, I think, for Toronto. If Toronto can go out and improve on that on base percentage, if they can have a dip in their strikeout percentage, which was at 25% last year as a team, that was fourth highest, or excuse me, sixth highest in the major leagues. That has to change. Put the ball in play. Humans make errors. There's some weird time, weird at bats where I remember Tony Gwynn used to say it all the time. A lot of the hardest balls he's ever hit were outs, and the best hits he's ever gotten were little bloopers, little broken bat dribblers. Those count just as much as a line drive single. Okay, getting on base is getting on base. Putting pressure on the entire fielding staff, not only forcing them to get you out at first or second or whatever, but when you do get on first base, what that first baseman has to do, what does he have to do? He's got to hold you on. That opens up a right side of a part of the right side of the infield. You can get the hit and run going. A lot of things open up when you get runners on base. And these days, a lot of teams have put a premium for catchers on their bats. That's changed. It used to be not the Mike Piazzas of the world. It was the Jason Kendalls, the Pudge Rodriguez, even though he was an above average catcher, but he was obviously a defensive first catcher. Now you see players like Austin Hedges, who are pretty much getting pushed out by the Francisco Mejias, who can hit higher average but are a liability behind the dish. Put players on base, start running on these guys, you know? Ball goes into center field. You went first to third on one pitch. The rotation is another thing that will need to be improved. They tried to go out, so you will give them credit. They got Ryu from the Dodgers. That's a step in the right direction. Personally, I think they overpaid for him. 4 years for a player that I think was a one-year wonder. I think he's at best an above-average pitcher, a workhorse at best. I don't think that's even that's possible for him. We'll see if I'm wrong on that. But like I said, it is a step in the right direction. They also did sign Tanner Roark and Chase Anderson. Both guys, not really anything that's going to change how I feel about the Toronto Blue Jays in terms of their win-loss potential or in terms of their playoff potential. There are going to be guys that go out and can probably throw 150 innings with an ERA hovering around five. They'll get you through the season. They're a warm body. The Padres used to do this a lot with Clayton Richard. Just throw him out there for six innings. You give up 10 runs, you give up 10 runs, but you're not coming out of this game till the sixth inning. I think the Blue Jays are going to have to rely on that. A lot of what the Blue Jays are relying on is already here. They do have some young talent in the minors, but not anything that's really going to manifest itself this year. This team is definitely in the right direction. I think this is a team that, if they can keep, if they get some right breaks, maybe a couple signings go their way, and the three players I talked about earlier, I don't know if I brought up Bo Bichette. He hit 311 last year and had an OPS of 930 in 46 games. I know that's a small sample size, but that might be our season. That's half of our season possibly this year. So these three players, Vlad Jr., Kevon Biggio, and Bo Bichette, if these guys can be the foundation, and you can throw a couple players in, who knows? Maybe Ryu does throw another sub 2.5 season at us. I don't think that's going to happen, but it's the possibility. I think this team is actually in a better position talent-wise, or at least going forward, than the Boston Red Sox. Like, the Boston Red Sox are always going to be able to spend. Toronto Blue Jays are going to be able to spend too, maybe not at the same level as the Boston Red Sox, but from a bettor's perspective, this is a team that might not be a fun team to bet on, but it's going to be a fun team to watch. I would caution you on betting against this team against big time opponents. I know when I talked about the New York Yankees, I talked about, hey, they're probably going to win a 2 out of 3 series. So, you're going to see a lot of inflated lines. I think you could almost see the opposite here. I think the inflated lines are going to go to the other team for Toronto. I think there are going to be a lot of times Toronto covers but loses, especially in that AL East against the Red Sox, against the Rays, against the Yankees. I don't think the Blue Jays are that far off from the Boston Red Sox. I don't think this is a playoff team. But that being said, 75.5 was their over-under number heading into what we thought was going to be a 162 game season. I highly doubt we're going to have a 162 game season. So, if this is the first team podcast you're listening to this week, what I've done is I pretty much assumed that we're going to play a 100 game season. I've then done the math on that to get a over under that reflects the 75.5 on a 100 game scale. For the Toronto Blue Jays, it was under 47. Look, I know I just talked about how the future is bright for this team and all that stuff. This is a slam dunk. If we do play 100 games and the number falls around 46, 47, 48, pound the under. This is a team that might get hot early, but they're going to hit a wall. And I know it might be a short season, but the psyche of these players, I don't think they've been through it yet. You're going to have a lot of games in August and September, or possibly actually playing regular season games in October, where you're going up against the Red Sox and the Yankees and the Rays, who are fighting for a division title or fighting for a wild card spot. And the Toronto Blue Jays are trying to figure out who their 26th and 27th man are on this roster. So keep an eye on that late in the season. I think this team will falter late in the season. I think they're a target late to bet against. But like I said, early in the year, keep an eye on them. I think they're going to get a lot of lines that are favorable to them because a lot of people don't expect a whole lot from this team. I expect things down the road. But overall, like I said, 47, that is, if that number is actually what they're going to come out with when we get this thing started, pound the under. And really, honestly, that's all I got for you today. Tomorrow, Saturday, March 21st, I'm going to have a MLB podcast that will pretty much just go over what's going on in Major League Baseball with the Padres. Obviously, look, we know that a lot of what I'm talking about is hypothetical. We don't even know if there's going to be a season this year. I expect there to be a season. I think there will be a season. I hope there's a season. I couldn't go a whole summer without baseball, but I will be back with you tomorrow full slate of MLB stuff to talk about. Will be a bit longer podcast. And then, like I said, starting Monday, we'll get into the NL East Monday through Friday, get through those five teams. And then Saturday, next Saturday, we'll get back into MLB. Hopefully, we'll have some more to talk about. If not, I'll make something up. Who cares? You know? I mean, at this point, I'm just here to distract you. You're here. I'm just literally talking into this thing to distract myself. I'm humbled by all the listeners. Josh showed me the numbers for this week. Humbling. So I thank you all very much for listening. Once again, I hope that this helped you as much as it's helping me through this incredibly difficult and surreal time. So once again, thank you so much for listening. My name is Brandon First, aka First Report, representing the ESBC Gambling Podcast Network. Thank you again so much. We'll talk to you tomorrow, and you can bet on that.
If you haven't heard of Anchor, it is free. It's a podcast that I use, and they really do a good job for us here at the GFSN Betting and Team Report podcast. It helps us make 70 to 80% of your bets. Now, download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started, my brothers. I'm the best there is.